I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Today we're going to be looking in the book of John, chapter 1, the Lamb of God. First, let me invite you to look at our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. On that website, you can leave requests for prayer. We'll be glad to pray with you and for you for the needs you have, and maybe you have a loved one that you'd like prayer for. Go to that website today, lrwm.org. Also, you can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. I'd like to hear from you today. In John chapter 1, we read of a man who was very strange. Of course, I'm speaking of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was strange in the fact that he didn't eat the things that normal people eat, that they ate in those days, and he also didn't dress the way that most normal people did, what we would consider normal and what they would consider normal in his day. The Bible tells us that he was clothed with camel's hair. Camel's hair, I'm told, is very stiff. And also he would eat locusts and wild honey for his food. And even today, that would be a strange way to dress and some strange things to eat. Now, the honey wouldn't be so bad, but I don't think I could go for those locusts. In John chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he said," verse 20, "and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" And he was further questioned in John chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. It says, "And they asked him, 'What then, art thou Elias?'" In other words, "Are you Elijah?" "And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou thyself?'" Now here, John answers their questions by using an Old Testament scripture prophecy. In John chapter 1, verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah," or Isaiah. And he's referring to, of course, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" Now, you can also look up Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 in reference to this. Well, John gave them the answers they asked, and still yet at that point, John's answer did not satisfy the questioners. In verse 24 and 25 of John chapter 1, he said, and the Bible says, "And they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?'" John answers once again. In verse 27 and 28, "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." And now we look in verse 29 of John chapter 1, and it says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" The Lamb of God. This, of course, is the title given to Jesus. It was given to Jesus even before John was on the scene. The Bible tells us that he, in so many verses and so many places in the scriptures, that he is called the Lamb of God, but John specifically said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus was distinguished for those things a lamb is supposed to exhibit. A lamb is the emblem of innocence. Jesus was free from all guilt and guile. even when we see him getting ready to go to the cross, those people who crucified him, who was responsible, those people who actually gave the decree, one of those people being Pilate himself, John chapter 19, verse 4, it says, "Therefore, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." John chapter 19 and verse 6 says, "When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." He said, if you want him crucified, you take him and you crucify him. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." The same thing that a lamb is known for. No blemish and no spot. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also hath suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He was perfect. And further, the lamb is an emblem of meekness and patience. Now these attributes were displayed throughout the life of Jesus. Notice that people railed at him. People despised him. People mocked him. People insulted him. People heaped all kinds of cruel indignities upon him, yet he endured. And how exemplified meekness and patience do we see in the Lamb of God? Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, it says, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from them, or from shame and spitting." Jesus Christ suffered more than any person has ever suffered. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Mark chapter 15, verses 29 and 30, "And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." And then we see in reference to this in Acts chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, "The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." Jesus was maligned. Jesus was tortured. Jesus was spat upon. Jesus suffered all indignities, but yet he opened not his mouth, just as a sheep, as that sheep would be there as the shearer would be shearing that sheep. The sheep would open not its mouth. Neither did Jesus. And Jesus is likened to the lamb for usefulness. And we see that the lamb's, of course, the wool is used for clothing. And we see that with Jesus, we see the robe of righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, it says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." In Job 29:14 it says, "I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem." What pleasure we should have in reading these verses. What joy it should bring to our hearts in understanding that Jesus Christ has clothed us, those of us who have trusted him as Lord, those of us who have asked him into our hearts, how it should cause us to rejoice to understand that we now have the robe of righteousness. The Bible says that our clothing before we trusted Christ as Savior was as filthy rags. If you've never trusted Jesus today and you're trusting in your own self to get to heaven, the Bible says your clothing, that the things that you have upon you that God sees is as filthy rags. The only way he is going to see you cleansed is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to receive right clothing. We see the wedding garment in Revelation chapter 19, another aspect of the clothing of Jesus Christ that he gives. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready." Not only do we receive the robe of righteousness when we receive Jesus as Savior, but we're going to read now how that we receive the wedding garment as Jesus comes back for us. In verse 8 of Revelation 19, it says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." That's for the saved people. "For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." That's saved people. Verse 9, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Revelation 19:14 says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." That's us. That's those people who have trusted Jesus. And what does it say about us? How are we clothed? We are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And the only way that a person is found white and clean with that that clothing that is white and clean, that linen clothing, that representation of linen, white and clean, is by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by asking Him into a heart that is ready to receive Him. Jesus is the Lamb of God. John 1:29, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the only begotten of God, John 3:16. Psalm 2, verse 7 says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." Jesus is God. Jesus is very God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And the Bible continues on by saying that that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's speaking of none other than Jesus Christ. John 1:3 tells us that He is higher than the Creator. He is higher and Creator of the angels. It says, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." He was selected. And let me rephrase that. He volunteered. He laid down His life. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was manifest in these last times for you, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. He was sent, according to John chapter 3 and verse 17. He had a body prepared. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, "Therefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Jesus was obedient. He was obedient unto death. The Bible tells us that He took the curse of sin from the world, from mankind. Christ gave Himself for us, according to Titus 2:14. He redeemed us to God by His blood, Revelation 5:9. In whom we have redemption, Ephesians 1:7. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, Hebrews 9:26. He was manifested to take away our sins, 1 John 3:5, 1 John 2:2, 1 John 4:2. The Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus Christ would save you today if you'll simply ask Him to come into your heart. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as my Savior." If you'll ask Him to save you, He'll save you today because He came as that Lamb, laid down His life for you, for me. Why not trust Him today? Until this same time next week, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
This life has given me much more. Jesus, I have the happiness that I